14. The briefest of introductions completed, they stood facing each other in the circular room under the translucent dome. "So," Tegeo said, inspecting the other woman from toe to crown, "you're his latest, are you?" Alva frowned. "Oh, no," she said, shaking her head. "He's mine." Tegeo looked as though she wasn't sure how to answer that.
"Miss H., welcome aboard the Jaundiced Outlook," said a disembodied voice. "I'm sorry this is all so precipitate, but I have just received instructions from the sleeper service that you are to be evacuated aboard myself forthwith."
"Thank you," Alva said, gazing round the room. "What about Chert Line?"
"It has expressed a desire to stay aboard the Grey Area," the Jaundiced Outlook told her.
"I thought those two were getting on suspiciously well," the girl muttered. Tegeo looked like she wanted to ask something, but in the end said nothing. After a moment she stood up, putting her hand to the small of her back as she did so, with a tiny grimace. She indicated the table to one side. "Please," she said, "I was about to have dinner. Will you join me?"
"Aye. Was about to have breakfast," Alva said, and nodded. "Certainly."
They sat at the table. Alva held up the small book she'd been reading, and which she still held in one hand.
"I don't want to be rude, but would you mind if I just finished this chapter?" she asked.
Tegeo smiled. "Not at all," she murmured. Alva gave a winning smile, and stuck her nose back in the slim volume.
"Excuse me," said a small, hoarse voice from the doorway. "What the fuck's going on, then?"
Tegeo looked over at the Blackbird Gravius. "We're being evacuated," she told it. "You can live in the cellar. Now go away."
"Well, thanks for your hospitality," the bird spluttered,
turning and hopping down the winding stairs.
"That's yours," Alva asked Tegeo.
"Supposed to be a companion," the older woman said, shrugging. "Actually, just a pain." Alva nodded sympathetically and returned to her book. Tegeo ordered food for two. A slave tray appeared with plates, bowls, jugs, and goblets. A couple of floor-running servitors appeared and started clearing up the debris left by Alva's sudden displacement from the Grey Area to the Jaundiced Outlook. The featherlight stuffing from the pillows proved a particular problem. The serving tray started arranging the place settings on the table and distributing the bowls of food. Tegeo watched this graceful, efficient display in silence. Alva Sage gazed intently at the book and turned a page. Then a ship-slave drone appeared. It floated by Tegeo's shoulder.
"Yes," she said. "We are now leaving the bay," the Jaundiced Outlook told her. "The journey to the GSV's external envelope will take 2.5 minutes.
"Oh, right. Thank you," Tegeo said. Alva Sage looked up.
"Would you ask the Grey Area to transfer my stuff here?"
"That has already been accomplished," the drone said, already moving towards the stairs.
Alva nodded again, put the bookmarker ribbon back into place, closed the volume, and placed it by the side of her plate.
"Well, Miss Galion," she said,
clasping her hands to the table,
"it would appear we are to be travelling companions."
"Yes," Tegeo said. She started to serve herself some food.
"Have you been with Bayer long, Miss
Sedge, wasn't it?" she asked.
Alva nodded. "Only met him a few days ago. I was sent to try and stop him getting here. Didn't work out. I ended up stuck on a tiny little module thing with him. Just us and a drone. 4 days.
It was awful.
The jail passed a couple of bowls over to Alva. Still, she said, smiling thinly, I'm sure romance blossomed.
Like hell, Alva said,
levering a few sunbread pieces from a bowl into her plate.
Couldn't stand the man. Only slept with him the last couple of nights. Partially boredom, I suppose.
All the same, he's quite handsome.
Bit of a charmer, really. I can see what you saw in him.
So, what went wrong between you two? The jail stopped, a spoon poised on the way to her mouth. Alva smiled disarmingly at her, over jaws munching a mouthful of fruit. The jail ate, drank a little wine, and dabbed at her lips with a napkin before replying.
I'm surprised you don't know the whole story.
Whoever knows the whole story, Alva said airily, waving her arms about. She put her elbows on the table.
I bet even you two don't know the whole story, she said more quietly.
Again, the jail took her time before replying.
Perhaps the whole story isn't worth knowing, she said.
The ship appears to think it is, Alva replied. She tried some fermented fruit juice, rolling it round her palate before swallowing it, and saying,
Seems to have gone to an awful lot of trouble to arrange a meeting between you two.
Yes. Well, it is an eccentric, isn't it?
Alva thought about this. Very intelligent eccentric, she said. I'd imagine that something it thought worth pursuing like that might be, you know, worthy of concern.
No, she asked, with a self-deprecating grimace.
The jail shrugged. Ships can be wrong, too, she said.
But so none of it matters a damn, Alva said casually, choosing a small roll from a basket.
No, the jail said.
She looked down, smoothing her dress over her belly.
But
she stopped. Her head went down, and she was silent for a while.
Alva looked over, concerned.
The jail's shoulders shook once. Alva, wiping her lips, threw down the napkin and went over to the other woman, squatting by her, and tentatively putting one arm around her shoulders. The jail moved slowly towards her, eventually resting her head on the crook of Alva's neck. The ship drone entered from the winding stair. Alva shooed it away. A couple of screens on the far wall lit up, showing what Alva guessed was the hull of the sleeper service, gradually drawing further away. Another couple of screens showed an approaching wall of gridded grey. She guessed the 2 minutes the drone had mentioned earlier had passed. The jail cried for a little while. After a few minutes, she asked, Do you think he still loves me at all? Alva looked pained for a moment. Only the ship's sensors registered the expression. She took a deep breath.
At all, she said. Yes, definitely.
The jail sniffed hard and looked up for the first time. She gave a sort of half-despairing laugh as she wiped some tears from her cheeks with her fingers. Alva reached for a clean napkin and completed the job.
It doesn't really mean much to him any more, Tijel said to the young woman, does it?
Alva folded the tear-darkened napkin carefully.
It matters to him a lot now, because he's here. Because the ship brought him here just for this, hoping the two of you would talk.
But the rest of the time, Tijel said, sitting upright again and throwing her head and hair back, the rest of the time, it doesn't really bother him, does it?
Alva took an almost exaggeratedly deep breath.
looking as though she was about to vehemently deny this, then sank down on her haunches and said, "Look, I hardly know the man." She gestured with her hands. "I learned a lot about him before we met, but I only met him a few days ago, in very odd circumstances." She shook her head, looking serious. "I don't know who he really is." Tajir rocked back and forward in her seat for a moment, staring at the meal on the table. "Well enough," she said, sniffing. "You know him well enough." She smoothed her ruffled hair as best she could. She stared up at the translucent dome for a moment. "All I knew," she said, "was the person he became when he was with me." She looked at Oliver. "I forget what he was like all the rest of the time." She took Oliver's hand in hers. "You're seeing what he's really like." Oliver gave a long, slow shrug. "Then," she said, looking troubled, her tone measured, "he's all right, I think." The screens on the far side of the circular room showed fuzzy grids, expanding, swallowing, disappearing. The last field approached, was pierced to reveal a black wash of space, and then, with a smear of rushing stars and the same barely perceptible feeling of dislocation Oliver and Gunnar Hofoen had experienced 2 days earlier when they'd arrived on board the sleeper service, the jaundiced outlook was free of the GSV and peeling away on a diverging course within its own concentric collection of fields. "And what does that make me?" Dejail whispered. Alva shrugged. She looked down at Dejail's belly. "Still pregnant?" she suggested. Dejail stared at her. Then she gave a small laugh. Her head went down again. Alva patted her hand. "Tell me about it, if you want." Dejail sniffed, dabbing at her nose with a folded napkin. "Yes, I'm sure you really care." "Oh, believe me," Oliver told her. "Other people's problems have always held a profound fascination for me." Dejail sighed. "Other people are always the best problems to be involved with," she said ruefully. "My thoughts exactly." "I suppose you think I ought to talk to him, too," Dejail said. Oliver glanced up at the screens again. "I don't know. But if you have even the least thought of it, I'd take advantage of the opportunity now, before it's too late." Dejail looked round at the screens. "Oh, we've gone," she said in a small voice. She looked back at the other woman. "Do you think he wants to see me?" Alva thought there was a tone of hopefulness in her voice. Her troubled gaze flitted from one of Alva's eyes to the other. "Well, if he doesn't, he's a fool," Alva said, wondering why she was being so diplomatic. "Ha," Dejail said. She wiped her cheeks with her fingers once more and dragged her fingers through her hair. She reached into her dress and pulled out a comb. She offered it to Oliver. "Would you?" Oliver stood. "Only if you say you'll see him," she said, smiling. Dejail shrugged. "I suppose so." Oliver stood behind Dejail and began to comb her long dark hair. "Ship, Message, the jaundiced outlook here. I take it you've been listening. Want to contact the GSV?" "I was listening. I have already contacted the sleeper service. Mr. Gunnar Hofoen and the Avatar Amorphia are aboard and on their way here." "Fast work," Alva told it, and continued to gently comb Dejail's hair. "They're on their way," she told her. "Bile and the Avatar." The jail said nothing. A couple of decks further down in the accommodation section, Amorphia turned to Gunnar Hofoen as they walked down a corridor.
"And it might be best not to mention that we were displaced aboard at the same time as Alva," he told the man.
"I'll try not to let it slip," he said sourly. "Let's just get this over with, shall we?"
"Definitely the right attitudes," muttered the Avatar, stepping into a lift.
They ascended to the impersonation of the tower.